This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, rolling along on sports on a Sunday morning. Kevin Wheeler filling in for Tom Ackerman today. Tom making his way down to Florida. So he arrived just a little bit ago, so he's probably making the drive from the airport in Fort Lauderdale to Jupiter, Florida, a drive that I'm pretty familiar with and remember quite well. It's not too bad from Fort Lauderdale, a little worse when you're coming from Miami International. But Tom's on the scene. He'll be providing all of our in-person coverage here on KMOX for the last couple of weeks of Cardinals spring training. Happy to engage in the regular Sunday conversation. And Bernie, I got a chance to talk a lot. Bernie Miklas with us here on Sports on a Sunday morning in one of your regular spots. I know you bump around during the show, Bern, because I do actually listen on Sundays because I like to pop it up there. You know, I sit at home in my office when I wake up. I'll be honest. I don't usually wake up till about 10:30, so I have to catch up as we go, but I find a way to catch up, and I like to listen to sports on a Sunday while I'm setting up I have office time late in the morning. I sit there and read stuff and start to get ready for the week and do all that kind of stuff, and then listen to this show and then watch baseball.
Yeah, that's what I kind of do, too. I bounce around. I may not listen to everything live, but I always circle back to it. So looking forward to your discussion with John Mozeliak later, 11:30
or so. I was joking for the haters. I'm like, I'm going to hold his feet to the fire today. Like, yeah, okay, with 2 weeks in spring training, there's fire at this point. Right. Now, we'll see what's going on. We'll get an update on Jordan Walker and some of these camp battles that you and I have talked a lot about over the last couple of weeks on the Guest House Gang, because there's some intriguing stuff. And you know, like, I can't wait to hear what he has to say about Victor Scott, who has been, I think, one of the brightest points in camp so far.
Yeah, to me, that's the biggest battle in camp, and it's the most interesting battle in camp, and it's really intriguing, too, because they have an opportunity. If they're going to keep Lars Nootbaar in left, they have an opportunity to, in effect, show the fans that when they talk about, you know, runway and all this other stuff, that a guy that represents what they've been trying to pitch to us, I think more than anybody on the position player side, is Victor Scott. So, you know, sooner or later, you know, we're going to find out if I'm still trying to figure out what exactly they're trying to do for the season. I think they're trying to be respectable. They're trying to win. I get it, but it's not a let's really try to win thing. They've returned most of their team from last year, especially on the position player side and the bullpen. But if this was supposed to be about giving young players an opportunity, I would ask, especially based on spring training and late last year, who would warrant an extensive opportunity more than Victor Scott? Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, with the one caveat that, you know, he's got a couple more weeks where he needs to maintain performance and, you know, get to see what happens. Because, again, that shouldn't be the be-all, end-all. I think you and I both agree on that. But these last 2 weeks are going to start looking more like real baseball. You know, teams are sending players out every day now. Yeah. You're going to see more and more just regular major leaguers. You're going to see more guys playing 7, 8, 9 innings as opposed to, you know, 4 and dive, 5 and dive. So these next couple of weeks start to look more like the real thing. So if you maintain performance during that time, that certainly couldn't be a negative.
No. And I guess I don't know how the club views this. I mean, do they care like about his stats in the last couple of weeks? Now, listen, if he's really, really goes off the side and, you know, he's striking out all the time, well, that's a different thing.
Right.
But I mean, you know, you talk about this quite a bit in the stuff we do all week. You know, a guy can go, you know, 3 for 16 and you say, oh, man, he's really in a slump. But it ignores the fact that maybe, and a lot of times this happens, he's hitting the ball extremely hard.
Yeah.
So I don't care if he's 3 for 16 because if he continues to hit the ball that hard, it'll turn. You know, it'll eventually pay off. So that I think that's what we all look at. I think the team looks at that too. I mean,
for sure.
Don't look at batting average in spring training. You know, look at how look at how hard a guy's hitting the ball.
And that info's available, man. Like, you go to baseballsavant.com, you can find it on MLB.com in the box scores. If you just want to go scroll that way, you can see how hard are they hitting the ball with any regularity. You can also track where guys are chasing, which is where your concern, my concern for Mason Wynn comes in, right? Mason had a great rookie year. I'm a big fan. I think he's a phenomenal player, but every young player has things to sharpen up, and his swing decisions need to get sharper.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and I threw a stat on, but I don't remember it now, but it's in one of my many pages and notes here, but I talked about Friday on Gas House Gang. You know, when Mason Wynn connected with the strike, with the pitch in the strike zone, his stats were phenomenal.
Right.
But when he swings at pitches outside of the zone and connects with them, no surprise, his stats are terrible. But the problem is he swings at pitches outside the zone way too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Burleson's the same way. And I'm sure Nolan Gorman obviously is the same way. You and I, again, I keep saying you and I, but it's true. We see the game alike in a lot of ways. I'm going to do this today if I have some time. I want to go down every player and look at what they did last year, every hitter, every meaningful position player. Mm-hmm. And I want to see what they did in terms of how many times they swung at strikes, how many times they swung at balls out of the zone, and what their statistics were in each category.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I think we mentioned it the other day. One thing as a team overall, because they're returning players who had 82 of the plate appearances last year.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Other than Goldie, you know. But the thing as a team they have to do a lot better, it's their strike zone judgment. They gotta quit getting themselves out by swinging at junk off the plate, and they do it a lot.
Yeah, it's a hard thing because pitchers are nastier than ever, which means that skill, though, is that much more valuable. And you know, when you look at Wynn, Gorman, Walker, Burleson, the key to unlocking what their potential is basically this. That's the key, is to lay off the stuff you can't handle. And if it's called on you, it gets called on you. You just spit on it and let it go. And if it's called a strike, if it's wrong, now you know you can't challenge it in season. But if it's wrong and they call the strike, well, you can't hit it anyway. So what's the difference? You got to wait till you get the one that you can actually do something with.
Yeah, you still still have to maintain that discipline, because, like you just said, I mean, yeah, you're going to get called strikes that maybe aren't really strikes. But I think actually. The umpires actually, see, we all remember the umpires that stand out as being, you know, utterly incompetent.
Right.
And there's only a few of them, really. The overall, like, whether you, the accuracy on balls and strikes, if I don't have the number in front of me, but it's phenomenal and people wouldn't believe it. But
oh, it's true. It's 95%.
Yeah. So,
it's huge.
What I would say, people watching, you know, games this year, don't smear the entire group of umpires just because baseball's got a system where you can have several umpires who are absolute clowns and they have a 100% job security. I think most of these guys, overwhelming majority of these guys, are really good at what they do.
All right, Byrne, let's change gears. We only have like three minutes or so, but I did want to get a little bit of March Madness in, especially with the first tournament bid being locked up this year by SIUE. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I was going to watch it late last night, but I found out what the score was. It was one of those deals, and they won easily. They won convincingly. So I think this. See, I think when a team and it's great that it's a local team. I think when a team gets to March Madness for the first time, it's one of the great things about March Madness. You know,
yep.
It's you love to see people get in who've never been there before. That gives the tournament charm, if you ask me.
Oh, I totally agree. Look, we know at the end it's mostly going to be the big boys, right? At the end, sometimes it's not. You'll get the occasional Cinderella that gets to the Final Four. But for the most part, by the time you get to the Elite Eight, Final Four, it's mostly the big boys. But what makes the tournament cool is that everybody gets a shot, every conference at least, right? If you win your conference tournament, you at least get your shot. And I know you can't do that for football. It's impossible. It's just too difficult to manage something that big when you can only play once a week. But when you can play like you can for college basketball, this is why the tournament is so cool.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the Missouri Valley Conference final today. Bradley and Drake, the number one. Drake's the number one. Bradley's the number two. So you're going to see the two best teams in the conference going at it. And then you turn our attention briefly to Mizzou. Mm. They are in an utter defensive collapse. I did a video on it the other day, and it continued again yesterday. They can't stop anybody from scoring. I don't know how you fix all that before you get to the NCAA tournament. I mean, they've lost 4 out of 5. Their defensive metrics over the last 5 games, it's actually 6 games, are absolutely horrendous. Listen, I love this team, but I'm just saying they have gone south. They have gone south in a big, big way defensively.
Well, I mean, like you said, not a lot of time, but we have seen this team swing back and forth pretty wildly, both good and bad. Because about 2 weeks ago, we were all blown away with how good they looked.
Yeah, but again, the defense issues are not just like a random thing. I mean, it's been every game they're getting punished on the defensive end, especially 2 shots.
Yeah, and they're going to be the number 7 seed in the SEC tournament playing coming up on Thursday, if I remember that correctly. Obviously, we'll talk Billikens with Josh Schertz here in a few minutes, but they'll be playing on Thursday as well as the number 5 seed in the A-10 tournament. Good catching up, Byrne. We'll do this again tomorrow on the Gas House Gang at noon, and obviously tomorrow on DGS as well. So it's a lot of Wheeler and Bernie Miklas talking together on KMOX. I love it.
Well, Wheels, have a great rest of the show and have a great Sunday, man. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, you do the same, man. We appreciate you. That's Bernie Miklas here on KMOX. And again, he'll be joining. I think we have all 4 of us tomorrow on the Gas House Gang. I think everybody's going to be there. Tom from Jupiter, Matt's back in town, Bernie and I. And then Bernie will be on with us on DGS in the afternoon tomorrow. All right, coming up next, let's talk some more hoops. The Billikens wrapped up the regular season. It was a wild win. It was a big senior night and a big performance from 6-year senior Gibson Jimerson. That was some kind of hoops game last night. A lot of fun. I know Josh Schertz had to have a lot of fun with it. We'll talk to him coming up next here on Sports on a Sunday Morning.